Exactly 10 years ago today, which is really mind-blowing, I have to say, was a pretty important day for me because I released the first version of my Angular course, my Angular 2 course, back then. And just like Angular, this course, of course, has evolved a lot over those 10 years. It has been updated countless times by me because, of course, Angular evolved quite a bit. And in this video, in this episode, I want to talk a bit about Angular's past, where we're coming from, where we are today, and of course also where we're going and what the future has in hold for Angular developers, if it's still a good idea to learn it, especially of course now also with AI. And yeah, let's dive in. So Angular 2 specifically was announced back in 2014, developed in 2015, and back then it was pretty controversial because it was totally different compared to Angular 1, AngularJS, which itself was one of the first major frameworks we had back then, which essentially were created to help us get rid of jQuery, or maybe to put it in other terms, to be able to build more capable web-first applications, interactive web applications, you could say, because it made building client-side rendered and controlled applications easier, Angular 1. And then Angular 2 was announced, and it was totally different. And in 2016, the first stable version of Angular was released. Angular 2 was released, I mean. And as I mentioned, in February 2016, I released the first version of my course, back then for the beta of Angular 2. And I can tell you, there were a lot of changes still in that beta phase, and still in the release candidate phase even. I updated the course many, many times back then already. But then we had Angular 2. And the Angular back then, if you look at modern Angular code, looked quite different. You had this concept of ng modules, of Angular modules, where you had these classes and you had to add this ng module decorator and explicitly declare all the components you were about to use. And then you had those components, of course, and you had your component classes, you had constructor-based dependency injection. If you had something to inject, it was to some degree, of course, very similar to how a component looks today. It's still a class, but then again, it was very different. And especially ng modules are something you might not really know anymore, depending on when you started your Angular journey and depending on in which company with which Angular version you were working. Because there still are many companies and projects out there that are stuck on older versions, of course. Now, in 2017, we had the missing version 3 because Angular had this release schedule to this day that every 6 months, a new major version of Angular would be released. And I know, I remember back then, a lot of people were not happy about that because it sounded like Angular would break every 6 months. I recall lots of many comments and messages in my course about people complaining about Angular changing all the time, but it never really changed all the time. They just had that release schedule to give them an opportunity of introducing big new features, but they always did that in a very backwards compatible way. And well, it's the missing version 3 here in 2017, because actually, initially, there were some version mismatches between the Angular core packages and the Angular router package, because Angular is a framework that's split up in a lot of different packages. And they skipped a version 3, to bring them back to the same version number. Now, then the next big jump probably was in 2020 with the introduction of the Ivy compiler. And of course, between those years here, or in 2018 and so on, the Angular team was heavy at work working on that new compiler, along with many other small tweaks and improvements. And the idea behind that compiler was to really rewrite the internals of Angular and how components are compiled and translated to actual instructions that manipulate the DOM. Because the old compiler had some inefficiencies, some problems, led to unnecessarily large bundle sizes. So that's why they had this huge project to rewrite that internal compiler. Now, why is that important? It is important because this phase could be referred to as the boring phase. From 2017 to 2020, not a lot changed. A lot changed internally, and there were minor tweaks, but the core feature set, how you build Angular components and so on, didn't change a lot. Why is that important? Because this was also the time when there was lots of competition in the JavaScript framework market, of course, if you want to call it like this. We had the release of Vue.js 2 in 2016. We had a lot of development in the React ecosystem and the React world. I mean, in 2018, React hooks were introduced. So it felt like the rest of the JavaScript ecosystem was evolving rapidly. And not everybody liked that, to be clear. Angular felt stagnant. And that is maybe not as bad as it sounds. Of course, a lot of people valued that stability because, again, there were many complaints about everything changing all the time in the JavaScript ecosystem, which, of course, feels kind of like a joke if we take a look at today and all the AI-driven evolution and the constant change with AI we see almost every day. But yeah, that was back then what people complained about. That was the boring phase. Now, that boring phase stopped or came to an end around 2022 when, with Angular 14, standalone components were introduced in developer preview back then, I think. And the idea here was that all of a sudden you didn't need Angular modules anymore. Instead, you could add this standalone flag to your component, and then you would be able to use that component in other components without ng modules. So without this stuff, you could still use ng modules, you could use them together with standalone components, you could mix and match as needed, because again, backwards compatibility and giving people an easy migration path was always important to the Angular team, but you didn't have to. So that were standalone components, and that was then rapidly followed up in 2023 with Angular 16 with signals and many more features. Many more features like a different way of rendering content conditionally with @if instead of the ng-if directive. And also there were first experiments being made into zoneless Angular, and in case you don't know, Angular, when it was released, Angular 2, used a concept called ngZone or ZoneJS, which was essentially a library that listened for all kinds of events that could occur on a website, like clicks and HTTP requests being sent and many other things. And it would then basically run change detection to see if the DOM needs to be updated in response to any of these events. The advantage of this approach was that DOM updates felt magical. Unlike with React, you didn't have to call setState or anything like that. But the disadvantage, of course, was that you had this monkey patching where a library would inject event listeners to all kinds of events with all the overhead that meant, with all the additional bundle size that meant, and therefore it was also less efficient than React's mechanism, for example. And zoneless, therefore, was another big step forward, which was enabled by signals, because the idea behind signals was that now, all of a sudden, you had an explicit way of telling Angular that some state changed, and it was able to remember where that state in the DOM was being used, and it was then able to update just that part of the DOM. So that fine-grained reactivity was introduced to Angular in 2023. And therefore, that is something that was and still is often called the Angular Renaissance. After the boring phase, and after the kind of chaotic initial days with all those breaking changes compared to Angular 1, Angular saw lots of love from the community again, because they were making big steps into a future that made Angular leaner, easier to use to some degree, and brought it more in line with what people saw in some of the other frameworks out there. Signals, for example, were made popular by SolidJS, but were actually, I think, one of the first major frameworks to use them was Vue. They just didn't call it signals, but refs. Anyways, that was where Angular was heading. And now for 2026 and the future, we'll of course see more development there. We'll see signal forms. The Angular team also, of course, is embracing AI with an MCP server that's built into the CLI to make AI-powered development on Angular apps easier, to make AI aware of all those Angular features. And therefore, it's a story of a framework that has actually been pretty stable and backwards compatible throughout its entire lifetime, despite reinventing itself at least once, maybe even multiple times, depending on how you look at it. It's been super stable and backwards compatible. And I think the Angular team did a great job there. And they were able to really, I think, change the image of Angular at least a bit from a framework that felt pretty heavy and maybe hard to learn to a more modern framework. Now, one thing Angular has always been, by the way, is a batteries included framework where you would have things like form handling, routing, HTTP requests, dependency injection, state management across components. You had that all built into the framework. You didn't need to reach for third-party libraries here. Unlike with React, where you had to bring in a third-party router, you had to bring in a third-party state management library, and so on. So that, of course, is also something many companies value. Therefore, Angular has seen steady growth over all those last 10 years, if you take a look at its growth curve. But of course, part of the truth is also that React has seen much more growth. I mean, if you add the React curve here, the Angular one is barely visible. And especially since early 2025, React took off. And we all know why, of course. That is because of AI. Because AI, and I've said it many times before in other videos, has one clear favorite, and that is React with Next.js and Tailwind, and not Angular. Does that mean, though, that Angular is dead, or that you should not learn Angular anymore? And what does the future of Angular in general look like with AI being there? Well, Angular, to this day, is still being used by many big enterprises, especially because of all that stability, that constant backwards compatibility that has not just been talked about, but that has been proven. Because of the batteries included approach, Angular is popular in many big companies. Of course, React, just to be very clear, is popular in many big companies as well, but the Angular download numbers don't necessarily reflect the actual usage or popularity Angular has, especially amongst enterprises, accurately. And I can tell you from that course here, this course has 850,000 learners. And that puts it not far behind my React course on Udemy. Now, of course, there also are more React courses on Udemy or more bigger React courses on Udemy than there are Angular courses. But nonetheless, my experience has not been the one that you could derive from just these charts. I have always seen that especially business customers are learning Angular a lot too. And that, of course, therefore makes it still, to this day, a great choice for building web applications, modern web applications. And it is very modern thanks to the Angular Renaissance and all the features that are still being planned. Of course, the thing to consider is AI. And AI is changing, of course, how we build programs, how we write code. We write less code. I write less code, at least. I use tools like Claude Code or Cursor, for which I also have courses, by the way. They're all linked below the video if you want to join them. We write code, we build programs differently. But of course, our technology choices still matter. We still want to use technologies that are well-maintained, that get security updates, that get some new features that make them more efficient or that lead to better performance or that enable new use cases that maybe then don't require third-party libraries anymore. We still want to use technologies like this. And when it comes to that, Angular, of course, still is a decent and excellent choice, just like React is, to be very clear here. And of course, before I get the comments, yes, Vue and Svelte, they're all amazing too. This video, as you maybe noticed by looking at the video title and thumbnail, is about Angular though. So yes, it still is a great choice. And yes, AI knows how to write Angular code, especially if you give it the right context, which you always have to do no matter what you're building with which technology. And therefore, I think Angular is well positioned for this AI-powered future. If you believe that in 3 years or so, nobody's going to write any code anymore anyways, and therefore technology choices don't matter anymore, things will be different, of course, for you. That is not my belief, though. From what I see from my day-to-day usage with AI, where I'm heavily using it and where most of my code is generated by AI, I can tell you, controlling it, steering it, making choices, choosing technologies, choosing software architectures is more important than ever. And yeah, Angular is still a great choice there. So that was my short history on Angular, a framework that will always have a special place in my heart because, as I mentioned, this was the first major course, at least, that I released on Udemy. And it has changed a lot for me. It allowed me to create courses for a living. It has changed the lives and careers of countless people. I got so many awesome messages and feedback, and therefore, yeah, Angular always was amazing, and it's especially amazing for me.